Good morning, folks. I'm out here in the greenhouse, standing next to one of these massive, giant golden amaranths that I neglected to transplant, and so it is up against the ceiling of the greenhouse. Pro tip, make sure to get those out or have enough clearance for them before you start growing. Wanted to give a brief update on two things. One, some questions on the potato experiment that I'd mentioned in a previous video and how that was working out, pumping out potatoes. And then two, just a general update on these aquaponic soil wicking bags, sort of hybrid system, and how that's working out. Let's start with the beds. So these are a dual aquaponics system. There are 36 goldfish down in the tanks, the reservoirs, at the end. And what happens is those fish live in there and they pump up the water into this bed, into these beds, and it rolls down through the system back into the media beds at the end, where we know there's a biofilter for the bacteria to turn all of the ammonia into nitrites and nitrates and do that whole cycle for the fish, and then return the clean water down to the fish. So that's working really well, particularly for things that I couldn't do in just the media beds, like root vegetables. I just harvested this beast of a beet this morning, and I'm pretty proud of that. That would not come out of a media bed, you know, it wouldn't have come out of my media beds. So this has allowed me to do things that have deeper, more established root systems without them sort of crumbling under the weight of themselves, like squash. I'm pumping out a ton of squash and cukes and zucchini in here right now, as well as those beets. There's some more beets over there. Guys, I'll say another few things about the wicking bags is that, you know, I don't have to run the pumps all the time anymore because they wick up the water. In fact, they send down, like I said, they send down prolific roots. When the soil holds the water here, you can only run the pumps once in a while, and it's still going to get enough circulation to keep the soil wet. And so even if you have a power outage, or, you know, there's also, you can call it manual aquaponics, where you literally just grab a bucket, take it from your fish tank, pour it in up here, it'll wick up, some of it will pour back down, the rest of it, and that's it. You don't need a pump, because you're keeping everything running. And, you know, we're not talking about optimum fish nitrate delivery systems in a commercial aquaponics greenhouse. We are talking about minimizing effort, maximizing results, and that's what I'm trying to get going on out here. So let's talk about the downside of what's going on here. You can tell this kale is not looking good right now. This whole system took a hit yesterday when the pipes got plugged up, the drain pipe got completely plugged up with roots. So the idea that these grow bags actually do the root pruning, it's somewhat true, but it's not perfect. You can see tons of roots popping out, and they go over here all over the place. That's what it looks like. And some of that mass just got down into the drain pipes and kept the water from draining down, which meant that it pumped itself out and, yeah, took a hit. So this is either going to recover, or I'll be doing some transplanting out into the garden today. I think some of these bigger plants should be in soil anyway. And it's starting to get hot out here in the greenhouse, so that might be a good idea anyway. So I'll be doing some of that today. So root issues, having a massive root mass across the bottom or plugging up drains, one thing to pay attention to. You'll need to make sure, as always with aquaponics or hydroponics, you need to make sure your pipes stay clean. And then another issue I'm having is a lot of evaporation, right? So what that means is, on some cadence, I'm out here filling up the tanks with water, and some minerals come in with that water. And then a lot of water evaporates and doesn't take the minerals, obviously, as it evaporates. So gradually, the hardness level in my system is getting harder and harder. The minerals are building up, and that will continue until I flush the whole system, which takes a lot of water and is not, you know, not ideal. But otherwise, at some point, there'd be such a high mineral content, the water would be so hard that it would preclude the plants from taking up the nutrients. And I saw this last year in my media beds, where there was less of a threshold. It was more that the water hardness went straight up, and that was the end of the game. You could see the calcification on the pebbles. Whereas here I'm using the soil, and so I have more of a buffer, as the soil itself acts as a filter and sort of takes up some of those minerals. All right, so let's move on. I hope this is informative. Let me know if you have any questions about aquaponics. Please see my video Aquaponics 101 for sort of a basic idea about how nutrients cycle through an aquaponics system. And then this is the mutant hybrid latest incarnation of mixing soil into that equation for a number of reasons that I just went through. You can grow things you couldn't grow otherwise. It gives you a greater buffer in terms of nutrients, temperatures for the soil, all of these things. And then let's see, back to over here. This thing is ugly. So in a previous video, I mentioned that I had created a potato experiment where I dedicated a 4-foot by 6-foot space, which happens to be right here, to growing potatoes. And I did that with a vertical potato tower that had three levels, starting down here, and then there was one that was hanging from whatever you want to call this thing. Like I said, it's ugly, which makes it all the more beautiful that it works, because this is about efficiency, not using resources and time and money, and pumping out potatoes. And then I had a third layer on top, and I would just water on top, and it would sort of drain down. I mean, I made sure to get everything watered. The ones that were not on the ground dried out faster because they were totally exposed to air, so they were they needed to be watered more frequently, or they just dried out faster, whatever. And even in this space, I pumped out a good, like it was a couple 5-gallon buckets worth of potatoes, and there are others that I haven't even gotten to yet. Anywhere you see dried out, yeah, any of these guys is chock full of potatoes waiting to be harvested. And folks, this has made the difference for my family between, you know, me coming in with squash and cucumbers to pickle, or like here and there, you know, constant supply of greens is great, but really you still have to have the calories, and the potatoes have made the difference. For the last few nights here, we've had dinners where it's 100% stuff that's homegrown, and that feels good. That's a corner I've been hoping to turn, and potatoes have allowed me to do that. So that was this experiment. You can do a 4x6 area in your garage with lighting, or if you have space to open up some windows and make a greenhouse, whatever you can do, wherever you are, like I've said before, on top of your RV, whatever space and time you can afford, try growing some stuff. Whatever it is, I certainly hope you're taking some steps today to ensure your food security going forward. And I'm dripping sweat. It's starting to get really hot in here. So thanks for watching. Spread the word about the Grand Solar Minimum and the need for folks to start growing their own food, and for us as a species to transition to a distributed model of food generation, where many of us can take significant hits from the changing climate, but as a community, we can all still work together, an anti-fragile pattern of feeding each other, as humanity has done since time immemorial. We've just simply forgotten lately. All right, thanks, folks. Take care.